from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, here's the deal. It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like I say, just turn up and listen, you know?
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in, 92.9 The Game Tonight. Abe Gordon here, live in the Kia Studios. And boy, oh boy, do I have some thoughts to get off my chest today. I'm not going to lie, there's going to be a lot of Atlanta Hawks discussion. I know I talked about the John Isner interview. That's going to be at 9 o'clock. We got power rankings outside the perimeter. That's all going to be on the back half of the show. But boy, oh boy, the front half of this show is just going to be all Atlanta Hawks. And it was going to be Atlanta Hawks heavy anyways. We're talking about one day. What do we got, 25 hours? Right now, someone should be in 25 hours from right now. Now, are they like that crap in the NFL where we have to wait the whole clock? Or can we finally get with Atlanta Hawks? You are on the clock with the number one pick the Atlanta Hawks have selected. Like, can we do that? I want to sit there for 8 minutes. Actually, I kind of do. I'm not going to lie, because I'm excited about tomorrow night. I am going to be involved. We've obviously got the draft special here with Mike Conney, Andy Bunker, and Steak Shapiro. I'm going to be involved with the on-site draft party with the Atlanta Hawks. I'm going to be on the court sharing some analysis. Hopefully they don't tune in and hear me rip a couple people today. But that might happen. And it's I'm going to tell you this right now. If they draft Donovan Clingan, it's going to be real difficult for me to sit there with a straight face and give all the positives. I've been railing on this dude, and we're going to rail on him some more tonight. I don't care how well he shot in his supposed workout. I don't buy it. But we're going to talk about Alex Sarr. We're going to talk about Zachary Risa-Shea. We're going to talk about Donovan Clingan. We're going to talk about Landry Fields. He was on with Steakhouse earlier today, and certainly we'll let you hear what he had to say. The interview that has now gone viral for specific comments and really the confirmation of Alex Sarr declining to work out with the Atlanta Hawks. Look, we're going to dive into that from a couple different perspectives. You know, what I think Landry Fields wants to do, what he probably will do. And then we'll also glance into the mind of Alex Sarr as best we can. Why? Why no to Atlanta, and why supposedly are we all in on Washington? There are a couple of legitimate reasons. I'm going to be honest with you. As the potential number one pick, there are some legitimate reasons that maybe he's not in love with the idea of coming here. I'm not saying I would agree with him. I'm not saying I would make those decisions if I were in his situation. But I can at least understand it. Now, there are some ideas and decisions that maybe aren't legitimate. And maybe he's being led astray for the wrong reasons. And that's on him. If that's the case, that's on him. But under no circumstance for him do I think he's in better position going to Washington. And we'll get through that. But why might he not like Atlanta? We'll get into that a little bit as well. So, real quick, I do want to make a couple Braves mentions. And the Braves get going at 7:45 tonight. We'll be keeping an eye on that. But like I said, going to be very Hawks heavy today with the NBA draft tomorrow. And want to make a special announcement as well. I'm going to be hosting the midday show with Randy McMichael. Andy Bunker will be out as he prepares for the draft special. And, I was joking with Mike Conley, who's going to be on there with him again, Sake Shapiro as well. Like, just how prepared are you right now? And, like, we know you're prepped for Klingensaw Rizochet, right? You're probably prepped for maybe some rando nonsense like Reed Shepard or Rob Dillingham. You're probably even prepped for the wild possibility that you take Bronny. That would probably require a trade down. But even you're probably even prepped for that. How deep will we go, though? Like into mock drafts before you're like, oh man, I didn't see that guy coming. I ain't got much on him. And that's why Andy's off tomorrow. He's getting that last minute prep in. You know, I asked Mike Conley before he left, like a couple of names. He's like, feel good about that guy. And he's like, I asked him one. He's like, oh, we didn't make a vignette on that guy. I'm like, I got you. Might take us trading down to 18 or something, but who knows? Should be great stuff, though, and really looking forward to the draft. Real quick, though, on the Braves, Schwellenbach last night picks up a loss. Austin Riley does hit one deep. 8 hits, 4 runs in 5 innings. Not good, but not bad. It was just so-so. It's probably what you're going to get more often than not from Spencer Schwellenbach, your fifth starter. It was nice to get the last two outings. This one a little bit step backward, but I think we're okay there. Ray Kerr. Braves lefty going to undergo Tommy John surgery. AJ Minter is being moved to AAA Gwinnett as he continues his rehab. Expected to get out there on the bump for an inning tonight. Ian Anderson took to the mound again yesterday. 3 innings with 1 run on 3 hits, struck out 3. They're expecting him to move to another level of the Braves minor league system as well. And Marcell Ozuna, second place in all-star voting at the DH slot. He's not going to catch or pass Shohei Ohtani. The best we can hope is that he holds on for second and see what gets him there. He'll get there either way. And Orlando Arcia left the game yesterday due to dizziness, is not in the starting lineup today. And, day off right now might not be the worst thing for him considering how much he's been struggling. But I don't want to sit here and say this is a Wally Pipp situation. Something tells me the guys in the Braves organization aren't exactly coming to take his job just yet. You'll get me to peek an eyebrow if they bring Nacho Alvarez up, but until then, I think he'll get back in the lineup when he's ready. So there you go. I know there's some thoughts about Thiago Almada as well. Some rumors. Garth Lagerwey joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. Kind of put to bed the rumors a little bit. Doesn't mean that the rumors won't become true very soon. And so we're going to keep an eye on this right now. I am planning for Thiago Almada to be in the lineup on Saturday at home against Toronto. Maybe that's the last time we see him. Maybe it's not. Obviously, we got the Olympics coming up as well. If the money gets right, just like Giakoumakis, I think it's a business decision that they have to look at. So we'll keep an eye on that rumor as well. All right. So Alex Saar doesn't want to work out for the Atlanta Hawks, and that's fine. And he gave some canned answers, and we're going to hear, again, what Landry Fields had to say at 7:40. But we may get some cuts in our next segment as well from that interview. So he doesn't want to work out here. How much does that change what you want the Hawks to do at number one? And that's what I'm taking calls on today. here on the show. 404-726-0929. Despite canceling his workout, suggesting he doesn't want to be in Atlanta, do you still want Alex Saar? 404-726-0929 is the number. I think you can also send me that comments. I'll post that when we hit the break on Twitter as well. At Abe Gordon, if you want to jump in on that conversation on Twitter as opposed to on the phone lines. But look, I've got a lot to say, but it's all going to circle back to that tonight, to be honest. I got my thoughts on Saar, Reza Shea, Kling, and Cumming. We talked about it. I'm going to try and get into the mind of Saar and why not Atlanta. But from the fans' perspective, to you, our listener, would you be upset at this point if they took Saar number one? Has he disrespected the organization to the point where you say, anyone but him? 404-726-0929. We're going to be answering that question throughout the show. At any point, you call in with an answer to that, your thoughts, and we'll dive into it because I think it could go a lot of ways. And, you know, I had a friend text me earlier today, and she asked me, is there a way that the Hawks fans are going to be happy with the pick tomorrow? And quite frankly, it's actually an outstanding question. I'm not really sure that there is a situation where the Hawks fan base is united and pleased with the pick. I think we're going to get a lot of calls today with people that say, I don't want Alex Saar anymore. He don't want to be here, then we don't want him. And I think that's a fair assessment if you want it that way. I think that's fine. But I think there's people who do want Saar and are not going to be happy with Reza Shea. And then hopefully there's a lot more people that are just all out on Donovan Clingan, including me. Here's the one positive, and I said this before. I declared the statement, and now I'm coming to regret it because I'm scared of what this front office might do. I said that if they draft Donovan Clingan number one overall, I will become an Orlando Magic fan. All right? This might happen, guys, and I might have to become an Orlando Magic fan. But here's the good news. It looks like the Magic might be in play for Trey. So I might become an Orlando Magic fan and still get to watch Trey all the time. So we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, I'm joking. I don't want to become an Orlando Magic fan. I wouldn't. But, you know, I'm a man of my word. I said what I said. It can't happen, right? And, again, what I heard from Landry, something specific, and we'll talk about that at 7:40, something specific he said makes me feel a little bit better, I think. But then again, like he might just be playing total verbal twister and throwing us all for a loop, and maybe that is the plan all along. That's what scares me a little bit about kind of how open he was, Landry Fields, in today's discussion. We'll let you hear that in full at 7:40. I'll react to it as well. We do have time to get one call in before the break, and then I've got a lot to say on the other side. But let's go ahead and get Mike in Canton going. Mike, Alex Saar, do you still want him even if he doesn't want to be here?
No, not at all.
You're not concerned that he's the best guy in the draft and this would be a big miss?
No, I think they need to try to pick that Castle kid up from UConn, try to trade.
Yes, Stephon Castle.
Yeah, and try to trade because he's an Atlanta kid. Also try to trade with San Antonio and get their Trey and Capella to get the 4th and 8th pick and maybe pick that kid out of Purdue.
Yeah, Zach Edey, unless you're talking about someone else. I appreciate the call, Mike. Look, quite frankly, they're not trading 4 and 8. Like, they're just not. I'm convinced they're not trading 4 and 8. Maybe if you gave them Trey and the number one pick, you could get 4 and 8. But Trey and Capella's not getting you 4 and 8. It might get you 4. It might get you 4 and some other, you know, maybe your second rounders back or future first rounders. But it's not going to get you 4 and 8 right now. And you got to remember, any future first rounder, it has to be yours. I don't think the Spurs would want to keep yours. Give them ours because they're probably going to be in the playoffs and maybe not as much for us, but either way. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion. Despite what Alex Saar said today, do you still want him to be the number one overall pick, assuming the Atlanta Hawks are making that pick? We'll let you hear a couple of things. I'll get some thoughts out. We'll take your calls again. We're going to hear from what Landry Fields had to say with Sake and Sandra earlier today at 7:40. Until then, it's you, it's me, and it's Atlanta Hawks NBA draft discussion. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. I'm Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios right here on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's go get it, baby. Let's go do it. Come on.
Sports doesn't stop at night, and neither do we.
Let's get this show going.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here talking NBA draft Atlanta Hawks. Question is simple, and I'm going to share some thoughts on this in a moment on my own, but the question is very simple, and it kind of ramped itself up quite a bit today. It started, obviously, with Landry Fields on the Steakhouse, and we'll hear what he had to say in about 20 minutes, but it started with Landry confirming that Alex Saar did cancel or decline to work out for the Atlanta Hawks. It continued when Alex Saar answered some questions as well. And so we've got a lot of situations going on, but despite canceling his workout, despite previously suggesting that maybe he does not want to be in Atlanta, do you still want the Atlanta Hawks, if they pick at number one overall, to draft Alex Saar? That's the question we're going to be answering all night long. And quite honestly, it's probably the question we're going to be asking ourselves all day tomorrow until they make that pick. 404-726-0929. Let me start here. And this has nothing to do with Saar or Landry comments made today. Let me just start right here. Who do I want and why? My decision for the draft pick depends on if you're keeping Trey or keeping DeJounte. I can get behind the idea of drafting Alex Saar. I think he might be a better fit than Reza Shea if you have Trey Young. If the plan is to move Trae Young, though, I don't think there's a great advantage to having Alex Saar. I really don't. I want a more capable scorer. I would probably want Reese Shea. And look, here's the thing about Reese Shea. I'm not anywhere near as down on him as so many others seem to be. I don't think Saar is some golden god while Reese Shea is the court jester. I think he's legit. I think he's got skills. I know we're all probably reacting to the fact that so many mock drafts had Saar number one to the Hawks for so long, and that now it seems to be switching and people might be panicking. Guys, before the Hawks won the draft lottery, Reese Shea had been number one for months. He had been projected number one for months before the Hawks won the draft lottery. And I know a lot of people weren't paying a ton of attention. They did not think we'd be anywhere near that discussion, and they only started paying attention once the Hawks won the draft lottery. And I don't blame you for that. I wasn't one of those guys. I've been reading up for months. Reese Shea was the number one guy until literally the moment that the Atlanta Hawks got the number one pick. I also just wonder how much of this is all just smokescreen season. Like, I don't know if I buy some of this stuff making a big deal, not wanting to be in Atlanta, canceling a workout. I don't know. I don't know how much that is overreaction or not. And then how much of all this is just sidestepping the fact that you can still trade the pick. Like, we're all debating Saar and Reese Shea, but I don't know if that's necessarily what Landry Fields is working on. Maybe there's something else going on. We talked about this. The one guy I don't want, Donovan Clingan. That's the one guy I don't want. I just don't think his ceiling or potential is high enough. I think he's probably the most they called it a safe pick earlier. That's probably true. Like, he's probably the guy that you can convince yourself comes in and has an impact in year one. I don't know if he ever makes an all-star game. And I'm willing to take it. Looks not my job, right? Easy for me to say. I'm not Landry Fields. I've got to take the risk, though, on Saar or Reese Shea or someone becoming a future all-star. I can't sit there with a really nice, good piece, but at one overall. The more I think about it, and now you do start to weave the Saar commentary in, I think I'm most comfortable with Reese Shea. I really am. I think there's a lot of discussion to be had about Reese Shea and Jalen Johnson defensively, how they shape up. And we're going to get into Reese Shea and Saar a little bit throughout the show. Again, Joe Cassaro is going to join me in about 35 minutes. I want to ask him about Saar, Reese Shea, Clingan, some other guys, what they can do immediately when they come in the league, but also what they most need to work on. Now, I'm going to say this because it's not completely because Saar seems disinterested in Atlanta, but it certainly has an impact on why I'm most comfortable with Reese Shea. I'm also concerned, to be honest, guys, about Saar. And I feel like I'm the only one who's not concerned about Reese Shea. And maybe that's me just trying to be a contrarian, which I tend to do sometimes. But quite honestly, I kind of have my thoughts. And I wanted Reese Shea the moment the Hawks got the draft lottery. I'll admit it probably adjusted towards Saar a little bit, but now the Saar thing has gotten me off on this, and I'm out on him. That doesn't mean I don't think he's the pick. It's just where you're asking me where I want to go, where I think there's high potential, but the risk is different. Both Saar and Reese Shea come with risk. At least I believe Reese Shea doesn't come with the risk that he's just unhappy and disgruntled from day one. Again, we're going to talk about why that might be a little later in the show. There are some reasons that Saar might actually have legitimately for not wanting to be here in Atlanta. We'll discuss that in a little bit. But again, the question is very simple. And we're going to keep breaking down these two. And I apologize if I keep leaving out Clingan. I don't want that to be the pick. I don't think that's going to be the pick. I'm not taking it that seriously. We'll discuss that after Landry Fields and after we hear from him. But I just have a tough time believing that he's going to settle on that. I'll be honest, and I like Landry. I know other people don't. Drafting Donovan Clingan one overall might be a fireable offense. It really might. And maybe not immediately. I'm not saying drafting Bronny one overall is a fireable offense immediately. Drafting Klingon, you better get it right, because that's one you're going to look back on that you had Saar, you had Reza Shea. One of them's going to be better than Klingon, if not both, and you screwed the pooch. There's a lot of risk with Klingon. It might not be risk this year in terms of whether he can find his potential, but, man, there's a lot of risk there. All right, 404-726-0929. Considering what Alex Saar has been doing and saying, canceling a workout, suggesting he doesn't want to be in Atlanta, do you still want him as the number one pick? Let's go to line two. We got Shamal in Atlanta. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing good, brother. So what do you think? Is this Saar thing just put you off on him at one?
Yeah, do a little bit, but you got to think about it, man. The kid 19, so he listening to his agents. He don't know what he getting himself into. He trying to make the right decision based on what they want him to do. So I really think he probably want to come to Atlanta, but they probably trying to influence him not to come to Atlanta. And if I was Landry, I'll go ahead and still draft him and then use him as trade bait if you can. If not, then just keep him and make it work. Because I heard rumors he didn't want to come to Atlanta because he didn't want to play the five. He wanted to play the four. And, of course, we got Jalen Johnson at the four. So that's one of the main reasons. That's what I heard based on Bleacher Report. But we don't know how true that is. They are rumors. So if I was Landry Fields, I'll still take Saar.
Well,
I think he's more talented than Reza Shea.
Yeah, and that's fine. Opinion. Here's the thing, Shamal, and I appreciate the call. I don't disagree with you. We're going to hear from Alex Saar a little bit later. He addressed the media today and had a couple of thoughts on this as well. Very canned responses, which is what Shamal's pointing to. These were responses provided to him in advance by his agents. And look, 19-year-olds say and do dumb things. I did when I was 19. Dom, who's with me tonight, did. Well, he's done it recently. Some dumb things, you know. Cisco over there. We're going to have to talk about what Oren did today, too, at some point. But we'll get to that later, Dom. But look, yeah, he's young. And he might say and do dumb things and stuff he might regret. And maybe not. But this does feel like a lot of meddling from the agents. And again, when we talk more specifically about Alex Saar and reasons he may not want to be in Atlanta, some of these reasons might come from the agents. Doesn't mean they're not legitimate, but some of them might come from them. But good call, Shamal. I think that whether he wants to be here or not, if he is the top guy on your board, you take him. And then if you have to move him later, and you can add capital doing so, then fine. But I'm not avoiding him just because he didn't work out and just because he says he doesn't want to be here. Brother, it ain't your call. All right, let's continue. We got Trey in Fayetteville. Alex Saar, man, are you bothered by what's been going on?
I'm not at all bothered. That's for the reason that you said he's 19-year-old. When you're 19-year-old, you do and say all kind of crazy stuff. But I want to start this off by saying, how you doing, Abe?
I'm doing good, man. I'm pretty pumped, dude. I'm just excited for what we're going to see in 24 and a half hours.
Okay. I had to do a wellness check because of all of the crazy stuff that's going on around the media right now. But what are the qualifications of being a general manager? Because I don't understand Landry Fields. Like, what did he do? What has he done? If he doesn't draft Alex Saar tomorrow, like you say, we just might have to find a way to get rid of him. I say draft Alex Saar, find a way to trade Capella for whatever, and try to find a way to get Brandon Ingram as well, and let them play together, and let Saar see for himself that Trey and DJ be good talents, and when he get around them, when they start meshing together, they might have the potential to be a deep playoff contender team, man.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I appreciate the call and the wellness check. I'm actually pretty doing pretty well right now. I'm pretty optimistic, which we talked about. Everyone else thinks that Landry's going to blow this. I just don't know. I don't know. Saar. First off, I've been higher on this draft class than most people. I think both Saar and Reza Shea could develop into legitimate studs. Not so much Donovan Klingon. Man, I'm really going to eat it if he's the pick. Like, I'm going to have to bite it so hard. I'm really setting myself up.
It's not going to be a fun night for you.
It's not even that it wouldn't be a fun night. It's just like, dang, man. Like, I'm going to have to root for that guy's development. I'm going to have to watch him become a jump shooter at some point. I don't know. I know a lot of people do question Landry Fields' experience, decision-making, whatever. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow when I'm hosting with Randy McMichael on the Midday Show. But look, whether you believe it or not, Landry Fields was a rising star, an absolute rising star in the front office industry. He was going to get a GM job somewhere. It ended up being here. Whether you believe that or not, that's the truth. Has he been hampered? Probably. We know the other GM was hampered, so who knows to what extent. But, yeah, I just think that, in my opinion, I don't have a problem with what he's done. Some things have worked and some things have not worked. Look, a lot of people here were crushing Landry Fields for sending Jalen Johnson, one of your top picks, to the G League. Crushing him. And you did it again, by the way, with Kobe Bufkin. I'm just saying, a year into the Jalen Johnson thing, and I'm sitting there like, this guy can't get run on our team? What is he a draft pick for? Now look at him. He might be the brightest star we have, depending on who gets traded. And so I do think there's been better decisions than a lot of people give credit for. You may not like how it turned out in terms of the season. I think Sadiq Bey was a good addition. But, yeah, he's got to get it right, and there's no denying that. He's got to get it right. Let's get one more call in. We got CJ, who's not far from here. He's downtown. What's going on, CJ?
Hey, buddy, great show. It's a compelling topic, I tell you that. I'm kind of leaning more in your direction. Just take Recherche. One thing you don't want to do with Star, even if you draft him and this is not where he wants to be, you already know what's going to happen. When it's time for him to leave, he's going to leave and walk out that door anyway. You don't want a disgruntled player on the team that doesn't want to be here. I get that his agents are feeding him the information, and this may not would be what he would do. And you can certainly take him and, like you said, maybe try to move him. But then that could backfire and everybody say, well, you know what? You drafted him, you keep him, we're not willing to. Because we don't know how much where other teams place him on their board. Yes, of course, we know we've heard the Wizards want him, but other than that, we haven't really heard. We don't know. Everybody else could have Recherche number one on their board. So you could draft him thinking you could move him and then be stuck with him and not get what you want. So if Recherche is your guy, I say take him. Whoever's your guy that's number one, they've had a chance to work him out, so at least they know what Recherche can do, having seen him firsthand. I say just take him and let's build around him.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, CJ. Here's the thing. I think we have been seriously misled into regards to what Recherche can do. And so I'm not as down on him as a lot of people are as compared to Sar. Man, I don't know how this gap got bridged between the two of them. But a couple weeks ago, it was all Recherche. Hawks win the lottery. Now it's all Sar. Some of that's positional need and suggestiveness towards that. But man, oh man, like the disrespect Recherche's received recently is kind of wild. All right, when we come back, Landry Fields joined the steakhouse. Let's hear what he had to say. It informed my opinion quite a bit on a few things. We'll talk about that next. It's Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. In the Odyssey app.
Let's go get it, baby. Let's go do it. Come on.
Sports doesn't stop at night, and neither do we.
Let's get the show going, man.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm not saying I'm the authority on European draft prospects. All I'm suggesting is I don't think there's a huge difference in terms of the impact they can have in year one and the eventual potential if they reach their ceiling from Zachary Recherche and Alex Sar. Now, the impact would be different. There's no denying that. What you would do with Recherche, what you would expect from him is vastly different from what you would be bringing Alex Sar in to do. But and to be quite honest, I think Sar would have a bigger impact early. I'm not even trying to hide that fact either. Assuming Trey is here, by the way. And all of it is contingent on that. Because without Trey, I have real questions about Alex Sar. But for me, I think both of them have incredibly high ceilings. And I think so many people have been quick to discredit Zachary Risacher's potential. And I don't buy it, guys. I think he's a stud. I think Alex Starr could be a stud. But quite honestly, right now, based on their games, in a couple of years, if I had to pick one that was going to make the All-Star team, it'd probably be Risacher over Starr. Now, that doesn't mean that he'll have a bigger impact on his team. Starr's obviously coming in to do something specific. Risacher as well. I'm just not down. I'm not down and out on Risacher like so many others are. I could be wrong. I can't be wrong about Klingon. There's no way he's the best of the three. It can't happen. But I could be wrong about Starr and Risacher. All right. Earlier today, Landry Fields, Atlanta Hawks GM, caught up with Steak and Sandra on the Steakhouse. And obviously, it's a big time of year. A lot of questions had to be asked. A little bit surprised how many of them he answered. A little bit, because we've had Landry on in the past, and as many GMs tend to do, not him. You know, we don't get great answers. You know, Terry Fontenot hid some stuff. Alex Anthopoulos hides some stuff. And as he should, Landry Fields hides some stuff. But I actually thought today, maybe it was intended, smokescreen season, maybe it wasn't. But I thought Landry Fields actually opened the book a little bit on what maybe we could expect tomorrow night and the rest of the offseason. And Steak and Sandra caught up with him and asked him if the Atlanta Hawks do not trade the number one overall pick, does he already know who the selection is going to be?
I have a pretty good sense of who we'll take. There's not many other meetings to be had, and we've done deep dives on a lot of different players. But at this point in time, I have a pretty good feel. So if some changes between now and tomorrow, you'll know tomorrow.
Is there really, other than maybe more trade partners, is the process of picking your next Atlanta Hawk player any different at all if the pick is number 1, 4, 8, or 15? Is there any difference really in the actual lead up and the process and the collaboration?
The short answer is no. It's with every draft. Beyond the number one pick, there are always really, really good players. And how you want to go about that is treating it as if, like, this is a player that can come in and change your franchise. Now, there's certain projections that you make that are just different. But in terms of how you gather information and the process in which you go about discussions and the video breakdowns and the scouting that all leads up to it, I mean, it's all really the same. I mean, every year you learn more and more about your own process and maybe how other teams do things, not even specifically in the NBA, but you know, the general sports world, and you try to implement more and more so that you're gaining more of a competitive edge. So the process will look a little different next year, and it should, because our group is constantly trying to learn new things and implement new things to assess players. But for the most part, whatever we have, we're going to give it everything, whether it's the first pick, 10th pick, or beyond that.
What has this last 24, 48 hours been like for you?
It's been pretty heavy with calls. Right now, just with how the draft has shaped up in terms of its timing, you know, free agency is right around the corner as well, and always connected to these moments where you can change your teams. There's always trade calls. There's always teams checking in. We're checking in with teams. So it's been a lot of the draft for sure, just nailing down who we actually want to pick. And then beyond that, you know, you're fielding a bunch of calls. So
for the number one pick in particular, has it been active on the trade front, folks wanting to trade up to get the pick?
We have had calls on the number one pick, but I continue to say, like, unless something wows me, like, we're going to pick number one. And that's still true today as it was the last time I said it.
Did Alexander Sarr ever get asked to come work out, and did he decline?
He came in. He was scheduled to come work out. We had it on the books, and then he declined to come work out.
Did he work out for any other NBA teams do you know of?
I do know, but I can't share.
So Sandra and I got fired up yesterday in the notion that somehow he or his agent decided that the way he'd be used in Atlanta is not something he's interested in. He declined to come in because he doesn't want to be drafted by the Hawks. How much can you say about the rumors that are out there? And do you take offense when an agent says he's not going to work out for you guys?
So okay, I'll answer that backwards. I don't take a large offense to that because it's nothing novel. You know, this is something that agents do. And what we make sure that we're doing is accounting for that. So you always make sure that you're doing your work early so that if you do get in situations like that where you feel like you can't get a piece of information, you hopefully already have that in order to make a good decision. So does it turn me off?
Do they give you an explanation?
So it doesn't bother me in any form or fashion. Of course, they gave us an explanation. And, you know, it kind of just is what it is. So at that point, that's the information that we got. And, you know, we'll show up tomorrow with the best decision.
Did any of the other players decline a workout?
No.
Landry Fields is with us, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Fair to say, over the last 2 years, it's not working for the Atlanta Hawks in terms of where we finished and what expectation was. Do you feel a pressure to show your fan base or in general to flip this roster enough to not come back with similar pieces and think somehow it's going to work? Because clearly it hasn't for the last 2 years, which I think is fair to say.
Look, my commitment is to making sure that we are building this thing out to be championship caliber. And that at times requires player trades, at times requires doing nothing, and at times requires just being patient with things. So that is my commitment. And as far as the pressure, we do the work, and at the end of the day, you make the decisions that you make based off of all the information at hand, and then you go and do it again. So we're in a good spot. We feel really good about what's happening right now. We're super energized by this pick coming up, and it's just another opportunity for us.
Is there anybody that you're not feeling – is there anybody off limits in terms of trade conversation that you won't listen to offers for?
I think that any discussions of our team on this call is probably not something I'm going to get into. But just know, you and the rest of the fan base, that we are working to make sure that we are putting the best players out there that fit with Atlanta Hawks' DNA.
How much do you learn watching the last two NBA champions in terms of constructing a roster, if you're talking to your owner or somebody else? Denver, obviously. The Celtics with a loaded roster as well. Both winning, also the teams that got to the finals. What do you learn from the storylines of those particular teams and how it affects what do you need to win a title? What do you learn from that?
Yeah, well, you learn quite a bit. And it's not just these past NBA finals. It's historical. You can look back 10, 15, 20 years and learn what elements
Absolutely.
And certain principles teams typically have. And they seem more often than not to be true. So you do have to account for the context of wherever you're at as a team and the players that you do have. So you don't want to always undercut yourself by just trying to nail the things that you think are mostly always true, but you do make sure that you're sticking pretty close to that. But at the same time, certain things happen.
Well, like, what does that mean? Does that mean you have to have an alpha male superstar player and surround him? Does that mean you need, you know, a Jokic, a Tatum Brown? You got to get right at the top of the draft. You can't try to build your team around. What's the philosophy? You got to have the guy.
You're always going to want to have some superior players. That seems to be pretty consistent amongst NBA champions across history. So that's definitely one thing. And I think for the modern age of basketball, shooting is a premium. It's a premium skill to have. So if you have those and you do a good enough job on the other side of the ball defending and limiting scoring of the other team, you put yourself in a pretty good position.
Do you go by that theory, the Missoula theory? I don't, you know, obviously, one basket's worth one and a half and one's worth two, right? So how important is building around these stretch players that can shoot the three, and the algorithm suggests more threes is a better mindset? Do you go by that?
I think there's some truth to that. Absolutely. You know, it's just working off of the numbers. So you try to play that to your advantage. It doesn't mean that that's always going to be the case, because you got to understand your players and the skill sets that they do have. But for the most part, like I said before in the last question, like, shooting is a premium skill in the NBA.
Yeah. Is it safe to say with the number one pick, you're looking at a guy that has that versatility that can shoot the three?
It is safe to say that shooting will always be at a premium, whether they have that now or something that we feel like we can develop over time.
Finishing up with Landry Fields, how are you going to sleep tonight? I mean, I guess the pick's in your mind, and it sounds like you're not going to trade it. So you're going to get your nice 8 hours tonight before tomorrow and just walk into the office in a great mood tomorrow?
If I don't get great sleep tonight, it won't be because the number one pick. It'll be because we're up working and doing other things to help build out this roster.
And fielding trade offers, I would imagine, right up until what time do we pick? 8:01 p.m. or I don't know what the draft is. That when it starts?
Yeah, 8:01. Yeah, if somebody comes with something that's like, oh, that's really appealing, sure, we'll consider it.
Interesting comments from Landry Fields. And the first thing for me, and I don't know if it's going to happen, to be honest, I don't think it's going to happen. And I know a lot of people have said the opposite today. He doesn't want to pick at number one. He wants to trade. I think he's stuck because the same way a lot of people portray the fact that the Hawks aren't going to get a guy that they want at one, that there's no obvious pick, there's no value there, I don't think you're going to get much for it. Now, you start to get into situations where you draft a guy, other teams specifically want him, and maybe you can figure something out, obviously referring to Alex Saar and the Wizards having the number two pick. I don't think he wants to pick at number one. I don't think he's going to get an offer that will allow him to trade out. And I don't think, and this is to his credit, I don't think he's going to trade just to trade. I think he needs to find the value on his end as well. He said something else, and I sent Dom, I sent you a cut in regards to shooting.
Let's go get it, baby. Let's go do it. Come on.
Sports doesn't stop at 9, and neither do we.
Let's get the show going, man.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm not saying I'm the authority on European draft prospects. All I'm suggesting is I don't think there's a huge difference in terms of the impact they can have in year one and the eventual potential if they reach their ceiling from Zachary Risacher and Alex Saar. Now, the impact would be different. There's no denying that. What you would do with Risacher, what you would expect from him is vastly different from what you would be bringing Alex Saar in to do. But when, and to be quite honest, I think Saar would have a bigger impact early. I'm not even trying to hide that fact either. Assuming Trey is here, by the way. And all of it is contingent on that. Because without Trey, I have real questions about Alex Saar. But for me, I think both of them have incredibly high ceilings. And I think so many people have been quick to discredit Zachary Risacher's potential. And I don't buy it, guys. I think he's a stud. I think Alex Saar could be a stud, but quite honestly, right now, based on their games, in a couple of years, if I had to pick one that was going to make the All-Star team, it'd probably be Risacher over Saar. Now, that doesn't mean that he'll have a bigger impact on his team. Saar's obviously coming in to do something specific, Risacher as well. I'm just not down. I'm not down and out on Risacher like so many others are. I could be wrong. I can't be wrong about Klingon. There's no way he's the best of the three. It can't happen. But I could be wrong about Saar and Risacher. All right, earlier today, Landry Fields, Atlanta Hawks GM, caught up with Steak and Sandra on the Steakhouse. And obviously, it's a big time of year. A lot of questions had to be asked. A little bit surprised how many of them he answered a little bit, because we've had Landry on in the past, and as many GMs tend to do, not him. You know, we don't get great answers. You know, Terry Fontenot hid some stuff. Alex Anthopoulos hides some stuff. And as he should, Landry Fields hides some stuff. But I actually thought today, maybe it was intended, smokescreen season. Maybe it wasn't. But I thought Landry Fields actually opened the book a little bit on what maybe we could expect tomorrow night and the rest of the offseason. And Steak and Sandra caught up with him and asked him if the Atlanta Hawks do not do not trade the number one overall pick? Does he already know who the selection is going to be?
I have a pretty good sense of who we'll take. There's not many other meetings to be had, and we've done deep dives on a lot of different players. But at this point in time, I have a pretty good feel. So if something changes between now and tomorrow, you'll know tomorrow.
Is there really, other than maybe more trade partners, is the process of picking your next Atlanta Hawk player any different at all if the pick is number 1, 4, 8, or 15? Is there any difference really in the actual lead-up and the process and the collaboration?
The short answer is no. It's with every draft, beyond the number 1 pick, there are always really, really good players. And how you want to go about that is treating it as if, like, this is a player that can come in and change your franchise. Now, there are certain projections that you make that are just different, but in terms of how you gather information and the process in which you go about discussions and the video breakdowns and the scouting that all leads up to it, I mean, it's all really the same. I mean, every year you learn more and more about your own process and maybe how other teams do things, not even specifically in the NBA, but the general sports world, and you try to implement more and more so that you're gaining more of a competitive edge. So the process will look a little different next year, and it should, because our group is constantly trying to learn new things and implement new things to assess players. But for the most part, whatever we have, we're going to give it everything, whether it's the first pick, 10th pick, or beyond that.
What has this last 24, 48 hours been like for you?
It's been pretty heavy with calls. Right now, just with how the draft has shaped up in terms of its timing, you know, free agency is right around the corner as well, and always connected to these moments where you can change your teams. There's always trade calls. There's always teams checking in. We're checking in with teams. So it's been a lot of the draft for sure, just nailing down who we actually want to pick. And then beyond that, you know, you're fielding a bunch of calls. So
for the number one pick in particular, has it been active on the trade front, folks wanting to trade up to get the pick?
We have had calls on the number one pick, but I continue to say, like, unless something wows me, like, we're going to pick number one, and that's still true today as it was the last time I said it.
Did Alexander Sarr ever get asked to come work out, and did he decline?
He came in. He was scheduled to come work out. We had it on the books, and then he declined to come work out.
Did he work out for any other NBA teams do you know of?
I do know, but I can't share.
So Sandra and I got fired up yesterday in the notion that somehow he or his agent decided that the way he'd be used in Atlanta is not something he's interested in. He declined to come in because he doesn't want to be drafted by the Hawks. How much can you say about the rumors that are out there? And do you take offense when an agent says he's not going to work out for you guys?
So I'll answer that backwards. I don't take a large offense to that because it's nothing novel. You know, this is something that agents do. And what we make sure that we're doing is accounting for that. So you always make sure that you're doing your work early so that if you do get in situations like that where you feel like you can't get a piece of information, you hopefully already have that in order to make a good decision. So does it turn me off?
Do they give you an explanation?
So it doesn't bother me in any form or fashion. Of course, they gave us an explanation. And, it kind of just is what it is. So at that point, it's the information that we got. And, we'll show up tomorrow with the best decision.
Did any of the other players decline a workout?
No.
Landry Fields is with us, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Fair to say, over the last 2 years, it's not working for the Atlanta Hawks in terms of where we finished and what expectation was. Do you feel a pressure to show your fan base, or in general, to flip this roster enough to not come back with similar pieces and think somehow it's going to work? Because clearly it hasn't for the last 2 years, which I think is fair to say.
Look, my commitment is to making sure that we are building this thing out to be championship caliber. And that at times requires player trades, at times requires doing nothing, and at times requires just being patient with things. So that is my commitment.
And as far as the pressure, we do the work, and at the end of the day, you make the decisions that you make based off of all the information at hand, and then you go and do it again. So we're in a good spot. We feel really good about what's happening right now. We're super energized by this pick coming up, and it's just another opportunity for us.
Is there anybody that you're not feeling – is there anybody off-limits in terms of trade conversation that you won't listen to offers for?
I think that any discussions of our team on this call is probably not something I'm going to get into. But just know, you and the rest of the fan base, that we are working to make sure that we are putting the best players out there that fit with Atlanta Hawks' DNA.
How much do you learn watching the last two NBA champions in terms of constructing a roster, if you're talking to your owner or somebody else? Denver, obviously, the Celtics with a loaded roster as well, both winning, also the teams that got to the finals. What do you learn from the storylines of those particular teams and how it affects what do you need to win a title? What do you learn from that?
Yeah, well, you learn quite a bit, and it's not just these past NBA finals. It's historical. You can look back 10, 15, 20 years and learn what elements Absolutely. And certain principles teams typically have, and they seem more often than not to be true. So you do have to account for the context of wherever you're at as a team and the players that you do have. So you don't want to always undercut yourself by just trying to nail the things that you think are mostly always true, but you do make sure that you're sticking pretty close to that. But at the same time, certain things happen.
Well, like what does that mean? Does that mean you have to have an alpha male superstar player and surround him? Does that mean you need, you know, a Jokic, a Tatum Brown? You got to get right at the top of the draft. You can't try to build your team around. What's the philosophy? You got to have the guy.
You're always gonna want to have some superior players. That seems to be pretty consistent amongst NBA champions across history. So that's definitely one thing. And I think for the modern age of basketball, shooting is a premium. It's a premium skill to have. So if you have those and you do a good enough job on the other side of the ball defending and limiting scoring of the other team, you put yourself in a pretty good position.
Do you go by that theory, the Missoula theory? I don't, you know, obviously one basket's worth one and a half and one's worth two, right? So how important is building around these stretch players that can shoot the three, and the algorithm suggests more threes is a better mindset? Do you go by that?
I think there's some truth to that. Absolutely. You know, it's just working off of the numbers. So you try to play that to your advantage. It doesn't mean that that's always going to be the case, because you got to understand your players and the skill sets that they do have. But for the most part, like I said before in the last question, like shooting is a premium skill in the NBA.
Yeah. Is it safe to say with the number one pick, you're looking at a guy that has that versatility that can shoot the three?
It is safe to say that shooting will always be at a premium, whether they have that now or something that we feel like we can develop over time.
Finishing up with Landry Fields, how are you going to sleep tonight? I mean, I guess the pick's in your mind, and it sounds like you're not going to trade it. So you're going to get your nice 8 hours tonight before tomorrow and just walk into the office in a great mood tomorrow?
If I don't get great sleep tonight, it won't be because of the number one pick. It'll be because we're up working and doing other things to help build out this roster.
And fielding trade offers, I would imagine, right up until what time do we pick? 8:01 p.m. or I don't know what the draft is. Is that when it starts?
Yeah, 8:01. Yeah, if somebody comes with something that's like, oh, that's really appealing, sure, we'll consider it.
Interesting comments from Landry Fields. And the first thing for me, and I don't know if it's going to happen, to be honest, I don't think it's going to happen. And I know a lot of people have said the opposite today. He doesn't want to pick at number one. He wants to trade. I think he's stuck because the same way a lot of people portray the fact that the Hawks aren't going to get a guy that they want at one, that there's no obvious pick, there's no value there, I don't think you're going to get much for it. Now, you start to get into situations where you draft a guy, other teams specifically want him, and maybe you can figure something out. Obviously, referring to Alex Saar and the Wizards having the number two pick. I don't think he wants to pick at number one. I don't think he's going to get an offer that will allow him to trade out. And I don't think, and this is to his credit, I don't think he's going to trade just to trade. I think he needs to find the value on his end as well. He said something else, and I sent Dom, I sent you a cut in regards to shooting. I found this one interesting as well, and it kind of just supports what I've been saying. But here's what he said about what type of guy he wants to add.
It is safe to say that shooting will always be at a premium, whether they have that now or something that we feel like we can develop over time.
To me, that screams Donovan Klingon's not in the discussion. And we're going to hear from Klingon in a little bit. I don't care how well he felt the workout went. There's no shot. He is not a shooter. He's not going to be a shooter. And I could be wrong. To me, that tells me it's between Saar, Reza Shea, or perhaps even someone else. To help us answer some of those questions and more, Joe Cascharo of The Score, senior NBA writer, host of the Pound the Rock podcast, is going to join us here on the other side. Got a lot of questions about what these guys can do as soon as they enter the league, what they need to improve upon. We'll see where he thinks the Atlanta Hawks are going to go next. That's what's coming up. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.